Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, breaking down a great victory for the Colorado Rockies, one of their best this season, one of their best in the last few seasons, and arguably tied for one of the best ways to win a ball game in franchise history. Improbable, absolutely improbable. This national series so far has been great for Colorado. Two games, two victories, and on Tuesday night, it was something else, a 10-6 win that felt pretty perfect from every angle for the Colorado Rockies. Look, we won't count the bullpen, or rather Anthony Molina's ninth inning that saw the Nationals score four runs and put the tying run on deck. Forget that. That snuck up on the Rockies, because really, up to that point, every aspect of the Rockies squad got it done. And now the Colorado Rockies are 7-7 since June 2nd. Now, that doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot when it comes to getting better than the 10th overall pick next year, because that's where the Rockies are going to be. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot when it comes to losing 100 games this year. That is still very much firmly on the table. But maybe, just maybe, avoiding 121 losses could happen. Crazy to think that playing 500 baseball over the past 2 weeks, as good as that is, and that really is just good, right? That is average. That's 500. That's smack dab in the middle. And that's your best string of play. The hope is that perhaps if you can continue to be closer to 500 the rest of the way, you can avoid 121 losses. You can't avoid 100 losses. You can't. But this is something positive to take away, because since Warren Schaefer has taken over as manager, sure, he's got 9 wins to Bud Black's 7, but again, you just look back the past 2 weeks since June 2nd, since the start of that Marlins series, Warren Schaefer has 7 wins. Bud Black had 7 in his 40 games to start the year. And there was just so many great things to discuss from Tuesday's game. Like, okay, there's a 3-game win streak. That's only the second time that they've done that this season. That's great. Antonio Senzatella, 5 innings pitched, did not allow an earned run. Now, he had a run charged against him, but it was unearned. Still, you had Tyler Freeman. Tyler Freeman set a franchise record with 3 hit by pitch. He got plunked 3 times. It tied an MLB record. And I think his final plate appearance, there was a ball that was up and in that he kind of got out of the way of. That was coming right for him. He could have been plunked 4 times. Was the headline Michael Tolia hitting 2 home runs? Like, dude just got called back up on Monday. 4 homers by the Colorado Rockies in the 7th, most ever on the road in a single inning. Think about all of the great sluggers that have been together at the same time for the Colorado Rockies, and never had 4 home runs been hit in a single inning away from Denver until Tuesday night. Incredible. Or was it the fact that the Colorado Rockies, the 2025 Colorado Rockies, hit 7 home runs in 1 game? That's right. Tuesday night, they tied a franchise record. Tyro Estrada got on the board with his first home run. Michael Tolley had 2. Hunter Goodman, Ryan McMahon, those 2 went back to back. That's the first this year. Sam Hilliard, Mickey Moniak. They matched the 2016 squad and the 1997 club. Those are the only 3 teams that have ever hit 7 home runs in a game for the Colorado Rockies. The 2016 team did it at home. The 1997 team did it against this same franchise. Careful with the wording there. It was when they were in Montreal, or it was when they were the Montreal Expos, and they played at Olympic Stadium. And think and listen to this. The 97 team that hit 7 home runs in 1 game, it was Dante Bichette, Andres Galarraga, Vinny Castilla, Ellis Burks, and Larry Walker with 3. All five of the Blake Street Bombers homered in that game. And now that I hear myself saying it out loud, this might be the only game that all five of them homered in the same contest. It very well could be. Maybe there was a game where each of them hit one home run apiece. I may need to look that up, or you may need to go in and do that research for me and then hit me up on social media at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. The 2016 team that hit seven home runs in a game, that was at home. That was against Cincinnati. You had two from Charlie Blackmon, two from Nolan Arenado, one from LeMahieu, one from Cargo, and then one from Gerardo Parra. And Parra was also in the building for this one too, because he is the first base coach for the Washington Nationals. Now, I mean, the 2016 squad is definitely, I don't want to say pales in comparison to the Blake Street Bombers, but it's a definite notch below, right? Because you've got one Hall of Famer in Larry Walker. You've got a couple other guys who've had top five in MVP voting. Vinny Castilla is, you know, a much better player than I think folks can kind of remember. I've talked to some fans that came in from Mexico for Rockies game not too long ago, and they said, you know, should he be in the Hall of Fame? And no, I don't think Vinny Castilla is a Hall of Famer, but you go back and look at his numbers and compare it with some other third baseman, and in certain categories, you look and say, damn, he was a lot better than I remember. Yeah, he was damn good. So, okay, 2016 is a notch below the Blake Street Bombers. Hey, that's not a bad thing. But how will this 2025 roster even stack up to the guys in 2016? Blackmon, Arenado, LeMahieu, Cargo, and then you got Gerardo Parra as the number five guy. I mean, we got Tolia. We'll still see what happens with his future. Hunter Goodman, okay. He's certainly on pace to be a very well-beloved and remembered Rocky. Ryan McMahon is already there. Sam Hilliard, Mickey Moniak, this group is going to pale in comparison, which makes what they did all the more improbable, incredible. The Rockies have been playing better on the road in the recent past. Like, okay, their road record, still not great, but the staff in the last 14 road games going into Tuesday night had a 3.70 ERA. That's pretty darn good. The bullpen was even better in 49 in a third innings pitch, 2.74 ERA. That's pretty darn good. And those seven home runs that they hit, don't forget, they hit three on Monday night. They hit 10 home runs in the past two games. Guess what, folks? That is also a Colorado Rockies franchise record. There was a lot to be smiling about on Tuesday, and the guys in the dugout were really happy. They were really smiley. Honestly, for the first time that I've ever seen them like that, it was like, oh, who are these guys with these faces and these teeth? Because you don't typically see that out of them. And so that was nice. That was nice for them to have that and for them to be on sort of the right side of history. You know, I think a lot of times this season, the words Rockies and, quote, in the modern era are two things that have not played well with one another this season. But in this game, it did. It's sort of a weird stat. It's not necessarily positive. It's just definitely not negative. And the news, and this was coming from Rockies Club Information, so shout out to them. They do an amazing job giving me a lot of the notes that I have and a lot of the notes that you read about just about anywhere you're reading about the Colorado Rockies. A lot of that is thanks to their research and the information that they give us. So tip of the cap to the Rockies Communication Department. But the good history was the Rockies were only the second team since 1901 to hit seven homers but record 10 or fewer hits in a game. So, weird one. The other time that it happened was it 2021? It was the Angels did it against the Athletics, and the seventh home run that was hit in that game was also Mickey Moniak. That's pretty wild. that's wild. So, great game. Good to see that. It was good to see this performance also, you know, after watching Brendan Doyle continuing to struggle defensively. He's just not the same this year, and I think that's understandable considering what he's been dealing with off the field. So just hoping he can play through this because he's a good man with a good family. I wish the entire Doyle family nothing but the best, nothing but love, hoping that he can turn things around enough for himself. Because I certainly, I am of the opinion of saying 2025 is sort of a wash. And you're just like the Rockies season is in many ways a wash. They are not going to win back 10, 15, 20 games at once. And so despite the fact that the Rockies could play 500 baseball the rest of the way, they're still going to lose 100 games. You know, I think it was a week ago at the ballpark where we're in the press box throwing ideas around, you know, bouncing different statistics off one another. It's a wonderful press box that we have at Coors Field, and a good group of folks that I'm lucky enough to share the press box with, where we build on different ideas and we go in different directions, and we definitely collaborate and share things really well. So I'm grateful that for me, on the professional side, things aren't quite as cutthroat as they might be in other markets. So take that for what it's worth, but that is the truth. But we kicked around like, okay, what would their record have to be the rest of the way in order for them to win 63 games? And it was like 7 games over .500, something like that. So that's just not going to happen. So you're not going to be able to make up for all that. So is 2025 lost? Sure. Is it lost for Doyle? If it is, that's okay. He doesn't want it to be, but that's okay if it is. Same thing with Ezekiel Tovar, with his injury. You don't want to rush him back. So you know what? If it is a wash, so be it. Like, you can move on. You live to fight another day. That's it. Tyro Estrada, we'll see if he's able to fight on Wednesday. He got his first homer of the season the opposite way, then got hit on the hand, got plunked as well. He exited the game once the Rockies got their tacos with that big seventh inning. Probably going to be a day off on Wednesday. Schaefer said in the post-game presser that Estrada couldn't hold the bat after that. Monday was a 6-4 win, which was great. I think the Rockies are now, you know, if they would have won that game 10-2, that would have put them almost at an even run differential over the last 7 games. So I think now it might be like -9 over the last 14 games in which they've won 7. So, you know, they're playing 500 ball. And the win on Monday night was also their second after trailing through 8 innings. Like, going into the 9th inning, trailing, they ended up winning that. You also had that big comeback on last Thursday with Orlando Arcia doing his thing. They started the year 0-49, like foregone conclusion. This game is over. The Rockies will not win. Well, now they're 2-2 over their last 4 games when trailing entering the 9th. They get that nice 3-run inning in the 9th, started off with Hunter Goodman hitting his second home run of the game to tie it. You had the 2-run home run from Mickey Moniak. So now he's homered in back-to-back games. I think he's at 9 homers now. So he's going to be the 3rd Rocky. No, is it 4th? Because Jordan Beck is already there at 10. So I don't know if he was one of those guys you would have thought would be one of the first to reach double digits, but he's right there. He is certainly right around the corner. Goodman also had a home run, as I mentioned earlier, on Tuesday night. So he now has 14, and we're right around the 81 game mark. We're right around the 50% mark of the season. So Hunter Goodman very well could become the first primary catcher in Rockies history to hit 30 home runs. Franchise record for a primary catcher in terms of home runs for the Rockies is 28 by William Rosario in 2012. In fact, by the time you're listening to this, there might be an article up. Although I think I said that a couple days ago and I had a couple snags, but a Hunter Goodman article coming up a little bit about that. But Goodman did get himself a little bit closer. In fact, he tied the franchise record, William Rosario's franchise record, with 11 long balls on the road. So he was able to do that. And, you know, Goodman is doing it away from Coors. He's doing it at Coors. And in the month of June, you know, he's close to 400. He's just playing just incredibly well. And he was one of the players that I did write about on the Rockies Insider newsletter, which you can get over at Substack. You can also search for patrickdlyons.substack.com. That's the exact URL, but you don't need that. If you do Google search, you should be able to find that. Also, on a lot of my profiles on social media is a link tree. You click on that, Linktree, and it'll take you to where I'm doing TikTok stuff and just all kinds of different forms of content. You can find that newsletter there. But Hunter Goodman really headlines the silver linings for this season. He does. You know, we know about his case to become an all-star. We know how close Jake Bird is in that conversation. Jordan Beck has also been a very big bright spot. But who else has been doing it? That's what the latest edition of the Rockies Insider newsletter is all about. I also cover a couple anniversaries in Rockies history, like the first ever game in the organization's history ever, June of 1992 in Bend, Oregon. Also, the greatest Colorado-born hitter of all time making his major league debut. And of course, that Father's Day walk-off home run for the cycle for Nolan Arenado. Learn about what I was doing for that game, because I went to the ballpark that day. I did not have my press credentials yet. It was the year before in 2017. I went to the ballpark that day, but ... You're just going to have to read it free over on Substack, the Rockies Insider newsletter. First update in phase one of the All-Star Game voting is here. I had my concerns, my doubts, my worries that there weren't going to be any Rockies in the top 10 at any position. And even in outfielders, they weren't going to be in the top 20. And there was one. And he favored fairly high. Hunter Goodman, only player for the Rockies in the top 10 of fan voting. Fifth in catcher voting. So not too far behind JT Realmuto. Those Phillies fans show out in droves, and Realmuto has that name recognition. Goodman could also close ground on Francisco Alvarez of the Mets. But getting into the top two could be a bit too much. Number one's Will Smith at $1.1 million. So he's got the first spot locked up. And remember, the top two move on to phase two. So I forget what the deadline is, June 24th, I want to say. They stop voting for phase one, and then they start phase two of, okay, it's just now between these two guys, who do you want? Who do you think should go to the All-Star game in Atlanta? So Will Smith is going to be there. Number two right now is Carson Kelly at 400,000. Cubs fans pushing hard for their guys. You have Pete Crow Armstrong leading all National League outfielders. And guess what? I think he should. He's been playing great. He made a great defensive play and then immediately turned around and hit a home run at Wrigley on Tuesday night. He's incredible. You also have Michael Busch with more votes than Bryce Harper over at first base. Kind of a surprise. And look, many of you out there know that the All-Star Game voting is a lot more of a popularity contest than it is who's the best player right now, right? And I think that's okay. In some ways, I think it should be that. I've gone to a couple All-Star Games myself, both as a fan and both covering it as media. And, I fall on both sides of the fence. I think it's more 60-40, the name recognition, because you do want guys to get recognized that are having a great year and are all-star worthy. But when you've got a guy with a name recognition, an all-timer, a future Hall of Famer, and they're playing about as well. So on one hand, you're like, well, it's kind of a disappointing season. He's only playing well as this other guy, and this other guy should make it because he doesn't normally play that well. That logic doesn't really stick. I understand it. I've had that logic too as well. You want to see the superstars. And look, there are guys that aren't superstars that are still going to force their way into the All-Star Game roster, and they deserve to be there. They absolutely should be there, but we know it's a popularity contest. MLB.com actually just had an article titled, 8 players on the All-Star ballot who deserve a second look. I clicked on it, went for the keyword search Rockies, and there was no Hunter Goodman on it. So he is doubly overlooked for the catcher spot. It's bad. Dodgers have the top two guys at 8 of the positions, and then they only have one in the outfield spot, and that's Teoscar Hernandez. It's interesting on the National League side, Rafael Devers is now listed as having the second most votes at third base. Now, this list was posted on Monday, mind you, and the Devers press conference on Tuesday was when he said, oh yeah, I'll play third base. I'll play anywhere, but I'll play third base. So he was on the AL ballot, and he was also listed as a DH And now all of a sudden he is in the third base category. So there's a couple dudes that are now third and fourth going, we were second until this trade, and now all of a sudden we're gone. And then you look in the American League DH, and then there's like a million votes just missing. And so the leading vote getter is now Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles at like 300,000. So that's just kind of interesting. And now it's anyone's race in the American League at DH. So it might even be Mike Tauchman. Now, Rafael Devers is listed as having the second most votes at DH. Now, this list was posted on Monday, and now Devers is saying at his press conference that he'll play anywhere. He'll probably play third base with Matt Chapman out for a while. Maybe he'll move over to first base. But he was originally listed on the ballot as a Red Sox DH because he was with the Red Sox, and he was the DH. But now that he's over in the National League, there's magically just 900,000 votes missing from the American League DH race. So he was there. He was number one, and now it's anybody's race for the ALDH now. It might even be Mike Tauchman, former Rocky and current White Sox DH, making a push to get that. It's anybody's race. But now, say a Suzuki, remember what I was saying about Cubs fans pushing for their guy? Suzuki was number two in NLDH, but now that's not going to happen. Devers has that number two spot locked up. And Ohtani does have the most votes. He's the top vote getter right now in the National League at 1.4 million. So he probably, it depends. He might get an automatic bid. Not that it matters. We know he's going to be there. But whoever gets the most votes in all of Major League Baseball gets an automatic bid. Is it each league? No, it's just the number one vote getter. So right now, that's Aaron Judge at 1.5 million. So regardless, I think Devers and Ohtani will probably both be there. I was also surprised to see Jacob Wilson getting a lot of love, the rookie shortstop for the A's. What? More votes than Bobby Witt Jr.? That's pretty cool. That was nice to see that. For the Cardinals, Nolan Arenado, he's been fine this year. Just fine. You know, not all-star worthy, but fine. But he's still Nolan Arenado. Kind of surprised to see him all the way down at ninth in the National League vote getting. So, that's that. And as I mentioned earlier, Michael Tolia back with the Rockies.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
He was brought back up on Monday, had 11 games in AAA, 3 homers, 16 RBI, which included a 2-homer game, and then a 7 RBI performance. Those were not the same games. He struck out 15 times in 51 plate appearances, so strikeout rate just below 30%. Good to see him hit his first home run of the season off a fastball, which he did for his first homer on Tuesday night. So that was his first one. Coming off a fastball, Keston Hira designated for assignment. I see him probably returning to Albuquerque. We'll see about that. You probably noticed the major league debut on Monday of Brady House for the Washington Nationals. He's the 11th overall pick at a high school in 2021, which did come 2 slots after Benny Montgomery, who is batting 192 in Double A. Unfortunately, Benny did have a solid season in High A with Spokane, but that jump to Double A is a son of a gun. Only Frank Mazzucato, pitcher, hasn't debuted from the top 11 picks from that 2021 draft class. Who else was drafted after Benny Montgomery? I know is where your head's probably going, and you're going to be frustrated by all of this, but still, it's important to note. And look, they're the Royals. Again, Frank Mazzucato was the seventh overall pick and just hasn't done anything yet. So there are plenty of teams out there that probably would love a redo. The Rockies need a redo, right? But they don't have a time machine. So behind Montgomery and behind Brady House in that first round of the 2021 MLB draft, Sal Frelick was the 15th overall pick to Milwaukee. Cincinnati scooped up Matt McClain at 17. Cleveland got Gavin Williams at number 23. And then here's where it hurts. The Padres got Jackson Merrill with the 27th overall pick. And the dude's going to be, what, a multi-time all-star? It's crazy. Then you've got a couple freaks in the second round who are already building quite a career. Andrew Abbott in Cincinnati. James Wood, who you're also seeing during this national series for Washington, though he was originally drafted also by the Padres. And then Oakland's Zach Geloff, Atlanta's Spencer Schwellenbach. So good for Brady House doing his thing. James Wood getting a good look at a guy who probably should be a starter for the All-Star game. I expect to see him in the Home Run Derby. He's just absolutely fantastic to watch. And he's 22 years old. So he was kind of quiet on Tuesday. I imagine that will not continue against Rockies pitching. CJ Abrams, who also came over in the Juan Soto deal, keep your eye on him as he approaches 100 stolen bases. He's got himself a steal in each of the first two games. He's got 99 as of Tuesday night, and he's two away from reaching 100 stolen bases for the Nationals. He did have one steal with the Padres before he was traded. So if he were to get two more stolen bases, he would actually join Trey Turner and Ian Desmond as the only players in Nationals history to steal at least 100 bases with the Nationals. So we're talking 2005 and now. Nationals have a 10-game losing streak after Tuesday's loss to the Rockies. I think Dave Martinez might be on extremely hot seat because I personally had somewhat good expectations for the Nats this year. Not high, but good. And they were only three games under 500 about a week and a half ago. And now all of a sudden, with this losing streak, 13 games under 500, perhaps a change is going to be coming for the Nats. Like, this is going to be one of those years in 2025 where we sort of see a change in business. It felt like the last two, maybe 3 years, you know, we went until like late July, maybe even August before the first manager got the axe. And now, what do we already have? Three? We do. We have three, and I could see a couple more coming for, you know, various disappointments. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rockies can win only their second series of the season. This will at least be their second series that they don't lose, which, again, count those silver linings. But Warren Schaefer's definitely got this group playing a lot better. And that's all you can really ask for, because sometimes the wins aren't going to come. And look, even if these guys are playing around, you know, 333, anywhere from there to 400 baseball, that's still a heck of a lot better than what they were playing the beginning of the season. So that is an improvement. That makes you feel a little bit better and allows you to sleep a little bit better, knowing like, okay, this wasn't maybe a waste of my time tonight watching this game, or I was smiling, I was having a good time, I was brought some joy. And I think if you really look back in the last few years, I mean, really, every year since 2018 has been a losing season, and yet there have been those games and those highlights that make you smile. And you might not be able to remember a ton of them, but in that moment or on that day or as you're leaving the ballpark at Coors Field, you feel good. And you say, hey, our guy's got one. Or, hey, did you see that play by so-and-so? That's what you're going to want to remember, because I think we are positive beings in many different ways. And this year has been hard for everyone even remotely associated with the Colorado Rockies. And so it's nice now to have a lot more to smile about. So thank you for smiling along with me in this audio-only edition of the Rockies Insider Podcast. Come smile some more over on social media at Rockies_insider on Blue Sky and Twitter. My personal account is at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Get yourself signed up for the free Rockies Insider newsletter. That's always fun. You can leave a comment on there as well. Do appreciate you dropping by. But that momentum you've provided just by listening, it's helpful, but unfortunately can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I will talk to you then.